we're here this morning, I want to talk a little bit more about the idea of standing in the gap that we kind of referred to this morning. So if you were here, know that a little bit of what I'm talking about will be, you'll hear some stories and some repeat, but we're going to take it more into, I don't have the graduates part in there, but I want to take it more into a section of 1 Peter where Peter gives us instructions and tells us how to stand in the gap. Not just, you know, this morning the challenge was we need to do it. And in 1 Peter, Peter gives us some instructions of how to do that. So the verse that talks about standing in the gap, if you want to turn to it, is Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And then later on, we will be in 1 Peter, if you want to kind of bookmark that as well, 1 Peter chapter 3. As I mentioned this morning, I told a story that goes that there was a guy named John who had a serious memory problem. And he was always forgetful, always forgetting things. And one day John ran into an old friend of his whose name was Bill. And he told Bill, he said, "Hey, Bill, I got great news." He said, "You know that memory problem that I used to have where I forgot everything?" And Bill said, "Oh, yeah, I certainly do." And he said, "Well, that's not a problem anymore. It's not an issue. I went to a seminar and they taught me how to remember things." And Bill's like, "Wow, that's great. What was the name of the seminar?" And John said, "Well, I'll tell you, but wait a minute, my wife went with me, let me check." And he turned and he saw that his wife was pretty near to him, and he looked at her and he looks back at Bill and he says, "Bill, what's the name of that flower that has the long stem and the thorns and a red bud that comes out of it?" Bill said, "You mean a rose?" "Yeah, that's it. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar we went to?" So we all have times where we are forgetful. There are times where we don't always remember everything, and sometimes it's we kind of joke around about, it's that age thing. I can't remember anything. I can't remember where. Now, I walked into this room to do something. Now, what was it that I was going to do type thing? Or you're talking to somebody and you say, "You know, I was going to tell you something when I saw you, and now I can't remember what that was." And we kind of joke around about that, but those things happen. And I don't know that it's an age thing. I just think we have so many things going on in our lives sometimes that, you know, it all just keeps running through and you can't think of it when you actually have to think of it. But tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it's a day that we set aside to remember, what people have done for us. A total day of remembering. And there'll be a lot of things happen, a lot of things going on. I'm sure there'll be cookouts, there'll be picnics, there'll be parties. People will be gathering together. They'll go to parks and ball games. They went to the race today. You know, all these activities are taking place. It's a weekend that kind of kicks off people who like to go to the lake. They get their boat out, and it's that first big weekend on the lake. And all those things are great, but the truth of the matter is the day is set aside for us to remember those who have served, those who have fought the fight, so that we have the freedom to gather together in a place like this evening and worship God. That's such a freedom that every place around the world, they simply don't have. So we appreciate the fact that we're able to assemble together this evening. You know, as you drive around the country, any of you who have traveled much, if you drive around America, you can find some type of memorial that honors those heroes, those men and women who have fought. You can find them in a lot of places around our country. And I want to share one story with you this evening about one of those individuals. Because, you know, World War II produced many heroes. And one such was a guy who was a lieutenant commander, and his name was Butch O'Hare. And he was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington that was in the South Pacific. And one day, his entire squadron was sent on a mission that they were going to fly out together and take off on this mission. And after they were airborne, shortly after they were airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and suddenly realized that somewhere, somehow, somebody had forgotten to top off the fuel in his plane. And he knew without a doubt that there was no way that he could finish that mission and get back to the carrier before he was going to run out of fuel. And his flight leader told him that you just need to go back, get back now, drop out of the formation. And he didn't want to do it. So he reluctantly dropped out of the formation and was headed back to his fleet. And as he was returning to the mother ship, he saw something that just made his blood turn cold. He saw a squadron of Japanese planes coming and sneaking up on his squadron, speeding their way toward the American fleet. And the American fighters were going to be caught off guard. They were going to be surprised. And he couldn't reach his squadron quick enough or get them news quick enough of what was going to happen. And he didn't know what he was going to do to be able to save the fleet. And he suddenly thought quickly, and he thought there's only one thing to do. And he must somehow divert the attention of the Japanese planes from the American fleet of planes. And so, laying aside all of his personal thoughts of safety, he dove his plane into the formation of the Japanese aircrafts. Now, they had wing-mounted 50 caliber guns firing at him while he's diving in and out of them. So, the machine fire was just blazing all around him. But as he kept going, he surprised one of their planes and attacked another plane, and he just kept weaving in and out. And as he wove in and out of the now broken formation, because he had made them scatter and get out of their formation, he just kept firing his plane at as many of those planes as possible. He kept going and continued the assault. And then finally, he ran out of ammunition. And so he thought, what can I do? I can't fire at them anymore. So he continued to dive at their planes, hoping to clip one of their wings or tails or something that would make their aircraft not be able to fly, make it unfit to fly. And finally, in the midst of all this, the Japanese squadron flew off in another direction and went away. Deeply relieved, Butch O'Hare and his tattered airplane went back to that carrier. And upon arrival, he reported in and he related the events surrounding his return. Well, there was film that was with his gun camera that caught everything that was going on, and they were able to view it. It showed the extent of his daring attempt to save his fellow Americans. And he had, in fact, destroyed 5 enemy airplanes in that attack. That took place on February 20th, 1942. And for that action, Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II and was the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor for what he did. And approximately 1 year later, Butch was killed in an aerial combat attack at the age of 29. But his hometown wouldn't let it go. They wouldn't allow the memory of this World War II hero to fade. And today, millions of people fly in and out of O'Hare Airport in Chicago, named after Butch O'Hare. In March 1775, Patrick Henry was at the 2nd Virginia Convention, and he made a motion for Virginia to form a standing army that would go fight in the Revolutionary War. And in his speech, he said to the other elected officials, he said this, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." I believe that has had to be the heart of so many of our service people who have fought the fight for our freedom, even died in the middle of those fights to try to save our country and save the freedoms that we have. And our scripture that we're looking at this evening speaks volumes about standing firm, standing strong, standing for something. The prophet Ezekiel is writing to Israel, and he's warning them that they need to turn back, that their ways have become so wicked, they have turned so far from God, that if they do not turn back, that God has simply had enough. Ezekiel's telling the Israelites, he's given you chance after chance after chance. He's given you so many chances, and to be honest, he's fed up. You know, he's over that. So he wrote to them of their impending destruction and possible exile. And in verse 30 of Ezekiel 22, we'll pick it up and read it. It says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. No one willing to stand in the gap. You see, the people of Israel had turned away from God. They had become a people of sin. When you look at their story and you look at where they were, it's hard to not look at our world and look at the way things are going and just see the resemblance and wonder at what point in time God says, I've had enough. I've given you enough chances. I'm removing my hand of protection. In our scripture, it says that God could find no one to stand in the gap. Now, I thank God that we've had so many people over time who have been willing to stand in the gap and fight for our freedom and to fight for what is right. The Israelites, God had given them freedom. God had helped them get out of Egypt. God had helped them to get through the wilderness. God had led them to the land of milk and honey, and they were reaping all of those rewards. They were living godly lives for some time, and it just, over time, just turned. People's ideals changed. They started getting more into the worldly things. And it got to the point where they had squandered all of the rights that God had given them to the point that God was ready to remove his hand of protection from them. All because God couldn't find one person willing to stand in the gap. Therefore, the nations of Israel and Judah were exiled into other parts of the world. And while we honor our heroes for protecting our liberties, which we should do, and tomorrow set aside for that, and those liberties include our religious freedom, the truth is we're in need of people right now in our community, in our nation, that will stand firm and stand in the gap for our faith. Thank the heroes who are standing for our liberty, but we need as Christians to stand in the gap for our Christian faith, because I'm afraid we're going down the same road and the same paths that we read about in the Bible when the Israelites had turned from God. I think we as a nation, if we don't get turned around and get back to God, we're losing our Christian heritage that our country was founded on. And if we don't find brave individuals to stand in the gap, it could be bleak for the country. I mentioned this morning, and you guys know this, but early in his term in office, our president, in one of his speeches, said, we're no longer a Christian nation. And then he referred to, we are a nation of Hindu, of Muslim, and you know, he went on to talk about all these other religions. And then last week, if you followed it last week, in the Republic, the BCSC school board president said in relation to the transgender issue that was taking place, and it was voted to proceed with that transgender issue. They voted unanimously, and the board president said that they did that because this is who Columbus is. We're becoming so concerned that we are going to offend people that we're losing our ground of faith, our Christianity. It's being trampled under the guise of tolerance. And we need heroes to stand in the gap for our faith. So Peter tells us how to do that. And I want to go to that now. How to stand in the gap. If you'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through 17. It says this. Now, who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you to explain your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Peter writes that we are to be courageous as we stand in the gap. In verse 14, looking back at that, he writes that we shouldn't be afraid of the threats of unbelievers. We shouldn't be afraid of that. Be strong and courageous. And then in verse 15, he gets to the heart of the matter. He says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you to explain about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. We have to be ready to explain our faith. We have to be ready to share with anyone we come into contact with about the hope that we have in our relationship with Christ. We got to be prepared to tell them about God, regardless of the situation, regardless of the setting that we're at in the world view. We got to be ready to share with them the truth because they're not living in it. I like the story that I told this morning, too, of the little boy who was drawing a picture, and his kindergarten teacher came to him and asked what he was drawing. And he said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the kindergarten teacher said, but no one knows what God looks like. And he said, oh, they will when I'm finished. That's what the picture needs to be when we get finished talking to people about Christ in our lives and what Christ has done for us. When we get done, they should have this picture in their mind of who Christ is and how he has changed our lives and what we stand for through him. We need to share Jesus with everyone we come into contact with. Then Peter gives us the method for sharing our faith. As we're standing in the gap and we need to share our faith with those we come into contact with, he tells us how to do it. Look at verse 16 again. Peter says, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. So when you share your faith, you have to do it lovingly. That's what we talk about often here at East Columbus Christian. How to share our faith, but how to do it in a loving way. We tell them about Jesus, but we do it in a gentle and respectful way. We don't get combative. We don't yell back and throw out the hatred that they're throwing at us. We do it in a loving way. Now, knowing that, we also know that going into this spiritual battle, that there might be a price for standing in the gap. Very well could be. Some won't accept. Is it not on? Oh, okay.
I'm going to plug it in so it's got power.
Gotcha. Good to go. So there could be a price.
Sorry.
You're fine for standing in the gap. We're a little bit informal here, so that's good. You know, some won't accept what you're trying to tell them. You know, in the cliche, some don't want to buy what you're selling. And we know that. That's the worldly way. Some might even ridicule you for it. They might even try to hurt you. We might be to the times where there could be persecution, but it doesn't matter because the Peter tells us that God is going to reward us for standing in the gap for our faith. Look at verse 17. He says, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Our military stands in the gap for our freedoms here in this country, around the world for us, for this country. But we're to the point where we need to make more of a stand and stand in the gap for our faith, both in this country and around the world. So I encourage you, tomorrow, remember those who have sacrificed their lives for our freedom. But the bigger picture, the big issue is this. Always remember the one who sacrificed his life for our salvation. During his communion meditation today, John read from the book of John, and you know, he talked about there's no greater love than for one to lay down his life. Christ did that for us and our sins. So we got to be strong and stand in the gap and always be ready to defend, to explain, to give an answer for what we believe and why it is true. Let's pray.